Last week we discussed the requirement to tovel dishes in a kosher mikveh. And as I mentioned, the mikveh that human beings usually go in is much bigger than is technically required. But obviously, if you go into the min if you go into a mikveh, that's the minimal amount, so it's not going to be very comfortable. So mikvahs for human beings are made much bigger than technically required. Okay, the mikveh is usually much smaller, but the amount, the volume of the mikveh that's required is the same for both human beings and for utensils and dishes. And we ended off last week by discussing, got I think cut off like after right before my last three words, literally. But we discussed the prohibition of there being a chatzitza. There's not allowed to be anything that separates the dish from the contact with the water. So where it comes up with Caitlin in particular is stickers. There could be all sorts of other, but there could be other things, I guess, that also might be on the dish or the utensil. We have to make sure that those are off. Even though technically speaking, if it's such a minor amount that you're not normally going to pay attention to, you'll barely know it's there. So really should not be any prohibition of using that if you weren't able to get all of that off. But l'chatchila, we try to make sure that there's absolutely no chatzitza whatsoever. So we're up to source 13 on page 189. We start with the Sefer Hayashar, which was written by Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Meir, Rabbeinu Tam, who was one of the Baalei HaTosfot, and one of the early Baalei HaTosfot, who's a grandson of Rashi. He's the brother of the Rashbam, who people might be familiar with. And Sefer Hayashar, even though Rabbeinu Tam's opinions are generally recorded in the Tosfot that are on the pages of the Gemara, the Sefer Hayashar includes some of Rabbeinu Tam's Talmudic analysis and halachic opinions. So the first thing that Rabbeinu Tam tells us is that the requirement to tovel something in a mikveh that's 40 se'ah means that the entire thing has to go into the mikveh at one time. You can't dip one part and another part. So sometimes, for example, when we're koshering utensils, so let's say you have like a really big ladle that's not going to fit in the entire pot of boiling water at one time. So you could insert one side and then the other side, and that would work for koshering for Haggalah. But when it comes to toweling something in the mikvah, the whole thing has to go in at one time. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam tells us. So the Piskei Tshuva also quotes that in source 14. Piskei Tshuva is a sort of compilation of Tshuvas up until his time. He lived in the mid-19th century. So on the pages of Shulchan Aruch, any halachic question that was answered in Tshuva that relates to what's going on in Shulchan Aruch, so he brings those opinions there. So Piskei Tshuva explains what I just explained, that with when you're doing Haggalah, so you could do things when you're koshering, let's say a ladle again in boiling water, so you can do that by putting one side in, the other side in, and that's fine. But when it comes to toveling for the mitzvah of tefillas kelim, so the whole thing has to go in at one time. That's what the Piskei Tshuva says. In source 15, on page 190, Shulchan Aruch simply says, "Tzarich la'adbil yidei hakli." You have to tovel the handles as well. So even though ostensibly the handle is not coming in contact with the food, you still have to. When we say you have to tovel the entire utensil, that includes the handle. So the Sefer Tefillas Kelim explains that that you don't have to dismantle the handles, and you don't have to worry that maybe there's like a little nook that's not being toveled. But you tovel it the way it is, you don't have to worry about it. Shulchan Aruch explains further in source 17. So it's, so let's say I want to tovel dishes in within another dish, within another vessel. So you recall that last week, in order to avoid there being, let's say I'm holding a a mug. Okay, and it has a handle, right? So the whole thing, as we just said, has to be tovled. But my hand could be a separation. So we suggested last week that I should put my hand inside the mikvah first. And then, I can hold on to the mug loosely, or even if I'm holding on a little bit tighter. So there's mikvah water that's touching the entire thing. Another thing that you can do is that a lot of mikvahs have baskets that you can, let's say you have forks and knives that need to be tovled. So you can put the forks and knives inside the basket, and then you don't have to worry about holding on to them and holding on. Are they going to drop? You put them into the basket. The basket is usually perforated. It has holes in them, so the water is going through, and that is acceptable. So that's something that Tony Gordon reminded me of last week after Shir, and she's right. That's another way we can tovel things. So Shulchan Aruch brings up the issue, though, that if, let's say, you put the utensils in another dish and it's sort of closed off, and especially if you put it through the side, the opening is on the side, so you potentially have an issue that the water is not going to really go through the whole thing. So, so we have to make sure that when we tovel things, with that's inside something else, we want to make sure that the opening is wide enough that the water is going to be able to penetrate the whole thing. The Darkei Moshe, the Raman, source 18, discusses that in theory you could even, fill up that vessel with regular water, and as long as the there's some contact between the mikvah water and the drawn water, so that's fine. But the general idea is, again, that we want the entire utensil to be going inside the mikvah. So if you want to put it in sort of in one of those baskets, that's totally fine. But we want to make sure that that the whole utensil is exposed to mikvah water. Are there any questions, comments at this point? Okay. So we make a bracha when we tovel utensils. This is brought by the Mordechai in source 19 in the name of the Rashbam. Rashbam is Rabbeinu Tam's brother, as I just mentioned. So, and he's and Rashbam is a grandson of Rashi. Mordechai is also from a similar school. It's part of the group of Baalei Tosfos. It's a long line of Baalei Tosfos that goes over a couple of centuries. But anyway, so the Mordechai says that we make a bracha when we tovel things, and he says the bracha is al hatvila. That you asher kishanim tzotav tzivanu al hatvila, and then he says that there are some who make the bracha al tfilas kelim, and then he says that there are some people who say al tfilas clay matachos, meaning metal utensils. And the reason why you would say the bracha that way is to make it clear that you only have to make the bracha on metal utensils which are required to be toveled min haTorah. So that bracha would be made. Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion that the bracha that we make for one utensil be al tvilas kli. So let's say I decide to buy a new pot from the store, and I just have that one pot. I need to tovel it, so just make the bracha al tvilas kli. If I bought a number of dishes or utensils, so then you make the bracha al tvilas kalin. Because then it's in the plural. So of the three opinions that the Mordechai brings, the one we make is al tfilas kelim. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains in source 21 on page 192 that the idea of making the bracha al tfilas klei matachos makes absolutely no sense. Right, I'm going to specifically make the bracha on the mitzvah to tovel metal utensils. In order to make it clear that it's only metal utensils, so it's two problems. Number one, you're still obligated to tovel glass midirabanan, and as we know, we make brachos even on things that are darabanan. We make a bracha on Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah candles are midirabanan, but nonetheless, I still make a bracha on that. So and practically speaking, we do make a bracha on glass utensils. So some of the materials that come up where there's a sort of uncertainty whether or not it needs to be toveled, or there's a situation where there's an uncertainty whether or not something needs to be toveled. So in those cases, we don't make a bracha. But both metal and glass have a requirement, even if glass is only made Rabbanan, so we still make the bracha on that. So therefore, al tefilas kli or kelim is more appropriate. And the reason why we don't do simply al hatvila, and the other reason he gives is that generally speaking, the goal of a bracha is not to teach you all the halachas that are related to what's going on, right? I don't need the bracha to tell me that you only have to total metal utensils. That's a little bit over the top. We don't generally, you know, it's like when we light Hanukkah candles, so we don't say Asher Kishem Sitav Tzivanu, we had like Neiros Shel Shemin or Shaiva or something. You know, we don't do it like that. So that's that. And the reason why we don't say simply al hatfilah though is because that's a bracha that's used by women or by converts when they go to the mikvah. So there we have a distinction between the utensils and people. But again, the common bracha and most mikvahs post this. Most modern mikvahs will post this above the kelim mikvah. They post the bracha so that you can make it. But we make al tefilas kli for one, al tefilas kelim for multiple. I might suggest, I didn't see this, I don't know if I saw this brought down. Never mind. I'm not going to say this on a whim. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out that if you are tovling a pot, and again, you're just, you know, about one pot, you need to tovel it. And let's say a pot comes with a lid. That lid is glass. So you need to tovel both the pot and the lid. But it's really, that's still only one kli. That's only one dish, one vessel. So you make the, you just make the bracha al tefilas kli. You should probably make it on the pot itself. But even though there's two parts to it, it's really one utensil. So you make al tefilas kli. So that's with regard to the bracha. And now we get to the fun part where we talk about toveling electric utensils. We talked about this last week, right? Oh, okay. We didn't talk about it. Okay, fine. But, okay. So, some of our metal appliances today are made of metal. So, they come in contact with food. So, I believe Susan asked me a couple months ago about she got a new urn, I think. And so, does that urn have to go in the kelim mikvah? So, yeah, it's metal, except that it's electric. And there's two potential problems. Number one, you know, there's first of all, you might mess up destroy the appliance when it goes into the water. And not only might you destroy it, but there could even be a safety concern if water gets in, doesn't dry, and you plug it in. I was thinking about it. We're going to see, obviously, there's some poskim that say that you should tovel it. I would be interested to do a survey and see, you know, there's obviously some people who've done this. So I'd be interested in doing a survey and see if there's how many cases, if any, there have been of somebody who toveled an electric appliance and it was completely ruined or even caused, God forbid, a safety issue. But let's see the perspective. So the Sefer Kashrus records an opinion that you don't have to tovel an electric appliance because when it's in use, it's plugged in. And when it's plugged in, it's plugged into a socket, which is connected to its circuit. And that's really connected to the entire structure of the house, which makes it mechubar lekarka. It means it's connected to the ground fundamentally. And something that's connected to the ground is not susceptible to impurity. Right, so for example, an example that comes up in the laws of Nida is that if a woman were to see blood on the toilet, so that itself does not render her a Nida, even if there's possibility it could have come from the source of Nida blood, but fundamentally a toilet is connected to the ground. It's mechubar lekarka. So it's not susceptible to mus. So that's the same principle here, that when I plug in the appliance, it's connected to the entire structure of the house and is mechubar lekarka, and therefore it's exempt. Shevet HaLevi, Vosner, was not very fond of that. He says, it's completely nonsensical and baseless opinion. And his proof would be that you plug it and unplug it, so it's not really permanently attached to the ground. So that's the opinion he goes by. On page 194, source 25, Rav Asher Weiss and Minchas Asher tries to give a few justifications for not toveling electric appliances. There's a little bit of hesitation on his part because he's not sure if these, when he wrote this, I guess, I don't know, he hadn't run this by other postgame. He didn't know of other people who held this way, but he has a very creative mind and he thought that this was at least worthy of exploration. So his sense was that that if there's a possibility that you're going to destroy the appliance, so the mitzvah is not to destroy your appliance. The mitzvah is obviously to total something they're going to be able to use. If you're going to end up destroying it, so that defeats, that's obviously not the intention there. So maybe on the principle of onus that, okay, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about it. So in that case, whenever you're in a situation where you're prevented from doing something, so you're not required to do it. So here, don't have a choice. And you wouldn't tovel. And he says further, right, so he says that the mitzvah of tefillah, this is what I mentioned before, the mitzvah of tefillah is to immerse the utensil before you use it. But if you're never going to be able to use it, so there's no obligation to tovel it. So if you're never going to be able to use it, then it doesn't make sense. But then he says, Ach b'kevan shadvarim mechudashim, so he says, I'm not really willing to rely on this practically because I haven't seen other poskim take this route, but it is something that he raises. Joseph was asking me what this book is, so I'm holding a book by Rav Pinchas Cohen, who teaches at Yeshivat Har Etzion. He is particularly the teacher for the South African, the Australian students. He's, I think, originally from South Africa. And the South Africans, the Australians are on a totally different schedule, right? They come in like February and they leave in December or January, something like that, because that's their that's their school year cycle. So he has a book, a very slim book on practical laws of kashrut. So he says that Rabbi Yehuda Amital held like this opinion that an electric appliance is exempt from a tefillah. I personally prefer to rely on that approach. Again, based on these sort of considerations, if Rav Amital thought it was exempt, I'm going to rely on Rav Amital on that one. But there are a couple of other creative suggestions that are offered. So number one is to dismantle the vessel and have a Jew repair it. Right, because if a Jew created the utensil, then it doesn't, and it's made by a Jew. You only have to tovel things that are made by non-Jews. So if a Jew takes it apart and puts it back together, so maybe that works. This idea originally comes from the Chochmas Adam. And he says, and here he talks about actually a situation where you're making beer in a very large vat, and there's no way to tovel that. So he didn't like the idea of relying that it's attached to the ground. So he said that maybe you put a large hole in them and have a Jew fix it. In that case, it's considered to be a Jewish vessel. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says it's the same thing with an electric appliance. Again, you have to be careful here that you know what you're doing when you find somebody who knows what they're doing. But if you find a Jew who's handy and savvy in terms of technical appliances and knows how to, dissemble it however necessary and able to put it back together. So in that case, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it would be exempt from tefillah. So that's approach number two, that in theory it should be tovel, but we get around it by having a Jew dismantle it. Another suggestion is to have it, is to give it as a gift to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is going to indefinitely loan you the utensil. So this is based on Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and a similar case as the Chochmas Adam. So he says you give it to a Jew, and they'll give it, and then you're borrowing it as to a non-Jew, and then you're borrowing it. And the Ravadia Yosef prefers this approach. So then the Sefer Kashrus quotes an opinion that you should tovel it anyway, do regular tefillah, and okay, Hashem will help. So in this book that I mentioned, so he quotes these different approaches, these different loopholes. Another solution, of course, is also that that in a certain case, if only certain part of the appliance comes in contact with the food, so the ghost is that saying that should be sufficient, right? So, you know, I'll say it like this: when in a toaster oven, when that has the racks, so even if you're not going to tovel the entire toaster, you should still definitely tovel the racks, because those you could take out, dry them, put them back in. But Rav Cohen says here, note, there are pious people who immerse their electrical appliances like all other utensils. One should be careful to let them dry properly before usage. Okay, so certainly have to be careful, but these are the approaches. A very interesting suggestion by Rav Moshe Feinstein, specifically when it comes to toasters, not toaster ovens, but the toasters where you just put the bread in. So he says that the bread is technically already cooked. It's already baked. You're just heating it. You're just trying to give it a certain crunch, but that's not really cooking it. So he says, in lechshiva klei tzarach suda. You don't really need to use a toaster. You choose to use it. So he says that toasters, in theory, should be exempt from tefillah. But those are some of the approaches there. Any questions up till this point? Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I had heard that it's possible, as I did with what I want to do with the coffee urn, is just to toggle it upside down until the electrical part, because the inside part that gets the water would be toggled in the mikveh, but just that where the very bottom of it, where the plug goes in, would not be toggled, but that's not considered one of the options here.
It's interesting. I mean, the reason why I would imagine that could be problematic is because what we said earlier is that even the a handle, which is not really come in contact with food, is really supposed to be tovel. The whole thing is supposed to go in. So, okay, if somebody thinks that that's this is the best way to in a non ideal situation, that that this is the most ideal way to do it. So I hear that. I'm not familiar with that being one of the approaches, but I hear this far. I think the problem with that just is that, is it effective only just because it's, if it's not, if the whole thing's not coming in contact with it, so has it done anything? But in theory, I hear the point. Okay, so on page 187, storage containers and jars. This topic has come up a couple of different times because we brought up this issue with the candy platters. So the question that comes up here is, let's say I buy a jar of pickles that comes in glass, or you buy once upon a time Snapple used to come in glass bottles. So when you buy that Snapple bottle, so is that chayav in tefillah? And in fact, this got brought up when I talked about, I think when I talked about the candy dish last week, and I said that, in theory, especially if you're going to reuse that candy dish, so you should really, you definitely need to retovel it and explain why it's not really sufficient for the stores to do it. We suggested that maybe it'd be best that the things are, in sort of plastic wrappers that don't come in direct contact with the dish. So somebody said, well, let's say, it is directly on the dish. So do I have to take out the candy, tovel it before I serve the candy back on the dish? So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, in a case where you buy something from the store, you're talking about something like pickles and the like. So he says that it doesn't really need toveling before you use it. And he says that because it's not, before you open it, it's not usable as its intended purpose. And therefore, it's only when you open it that it becomes a kli, in which case it's been done by a Jew. it's a very interesting thing in Hilchos Shabbos. I think it actually like alludes to that. That you know, we often think that that let's say opening a can is sort of destroying it, but in fact, if you open a can in such a way that it's dafka more usable that way, so that might be bone. That might be you know, building something. So same thing here also, that when I open the jar, so that's when it becomes usable for me to eat the pickles from it. And then in that case, I've made the vessel, and it doesn't need a tefillah at all. The other thing that he says is that in many of these cases, you're only using it one time, and you're going to throw it away afterwards. So then you really shouldn't have to tovel it, because it's not meant to be used on a permanent basis. So I saw that Rabbi Leibowitz actually addressed this with regards to the candy platter. Problem is that if let's say these metal dishes are really nice and you're actually planning on using them more than once, so it does require tefillah. And the thing to remind ourselves is that even if there are scenarios where, let's say, you know, for example, the aluminum tin foils, you know, that you're using one time. So since it's only for one time use, really, you don't have to tovel it. But something that you are going to use on multiple occasions, you're not even allowed to use it one time without having toveled it. But also, you know, with the candy platter, so it is, you know, it is usable without, you know, you're not I mean, it might be, you know, wrapped in a bag, but it is usable. So Rabbi Leibowitz didn't feel like you should be able to apply the Minchas Shlomo in the case of the candy platter. And you'll see in the footnote here, I brought up Snapple bottles. So Rav Schechter actually holds that if you're going to buy Snapple, you have to pour it into a cup. You can't drink it directly from the Snapple bottle because you've acquired the glass bottle. And in that case, it's chayav and tefillah. Now, the saving grace nowadays, of course, is that Snapple is made in plastic bottles. Don't really have to worry about that nowadays. It seems like that this is a particular opinion of Rav Schechter. So I don't know if you know, anyone here is necessarily obligated to follow it, but there's a certain principle that's being conveyed there, is that when I buy that glass bottle, you know, I've acquired the vessel and I'm using it. Except that, you know, again, maybe in that scenario, so you rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman that if you're only using it one time, you're going to throw it out. But if you're going to reuse a bottle, so then maybe you really do have that problem.
Yeah, but what about the idea that it's not a vessel until you open it?
What?
Before we had a case where it's not really a vessel until you open it.
Right. So that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion. So again, so Rav Schechter's line of thinking is you're sort of opposite of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So again, I think. You know, one has the right to rely on Rav Shlomo Zalman for both of those reasons. But it's an interesting approach. Rav Moshe Feinstein thinks that in a lot of these cases, you don't need to tovel it even if it's not going to be reused. But that's his opinion there. Okay, so with the last 8 minutes or so, actually don't have that much left. But the question that comes up is, can I use utensils of others that have not been toveled? Let's say I'm going to the home of somebody who's Jewish, and you know they keep a general sense of kashrus. They're not mixing milk and fleishigs, and they have separate dishes, and everything's hechsher. So maybe they're not entirely observant, but it's a reasonably kosher home, so the food itself is fine to eat. But they didn't tovel their dishes. I think in some of the more liberal parts, the Jewish world, even those who keep kosher, tefillas kinyanim is not so common. And this could come up, let's say, you know, if you go to a hotel in Israel and it's owned by a chilonim. I don't know if the rabbanu would require the total of the dishes, but the question is addressed by a lot of Israeli poskim, which indicates that it's certainly an issue. And again, you could have in Israel, you could have some, you know, you could have people who keep kosher, you know, who are more traditional, they keep kosher in principle, but tefillas kelim is, you know, a little bit, you know, beyond what's required, so to speak, from that perspective. So Rav Yosef felt that that it's usher to use them, use these utensils until they're toveled. So the Sefer HaKashrus suggests in that vein that in theory, the source 35, that one should, he says, one who says stays in a house where the utensils made by non-Jews have not been toveled, he should request that they serve him in utensils that have no obligation to be toveled. So whether it's plastic dishes, paper goods, or the like, so that would be better than using the regular dishes. If they nevertheless served him using utensils that are obligated in tefillah but were not toveled, so he may eat the food using his hands or using a napkin, in which case, I guess, you know, with the, you know, we're talking about the fork and knife haven't been toveled, so use a napkin or your hands instead of, so with some finger food, maybe that's acceptable. In other cases, maybe that's a chil Hashem because you look like you're a barbarian, so that's to be taken into account. Rav Yaakov Ariel, one of the great Rosh Zionist poskim and former rabbi of chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, so he felt that you don't have to worry about this and you can still use them because so here was he talking about hotels here. So he says here, it seems in my humble opinion that even according to the words of Urza, it's not logical to say a utensil prior to tefillah is similar to a utensil prior to a gala. In other words, we're not talking about things that are not actually not kosher, because we said before that the obligation, so even if the obligation to tovel dishes is an obligation from the Torah, it could be that I as a person eating from them, so that's a prohibition from that's from the Rabbanan. Meaning if I own the utensils, I have a Torah obligation to tovel them. In terms of eating from somebody else's dishes that have not been toveled, so maybe that's a din derabanan. In which case, maybe there's room to be lenient, right? So the obligation to tovel is on the person; it's not about the dishes themselves. So when you have a guest who doesn't have a choice, they don't have the ability to tovel them themselves. Either it's just going to be too acrimonious to ask, or they're not willing. The person's not willing to do it. So he says that you can use them in those situations. And this is brought the name of Rosh Zalman Arbach as well. And he says that this obviously should be done something that's shasat chak, when there's no other possibility. That's not something to rely on regularly. Okay, so then the question also comes up with public hotels or restaurants with dishes that were not immersed. So the Darkei Tshuva says that the custom is spread across the world that one may purchase drinks from a Jewish bartender who has not immersed his dishes, need not be concerned that there is a prohibition, because here he's saying that, let's say the bartender is not Jewish, so he's exempted from the halacha, and also, but not just that, but also the dishes, the glasses at that point are for business purposes, right? That's why we said that the store owner who has a candy platters can't tovel the dishes, because at that stage she's using them for merchandise, not for food purposes. So too, the bartender is only using the utensils for business purposes. So he wasn't obligated to tovel them, and you're not obligated to tovel them. The Shevet Sofer, I'm actually not familiar who he is, Shevet Sofer suggests, again, that if a Jew purchased dishes for commerce and not to use themselves, so they don't need to be toveled. So there are leniencies, of course, that would emerge from that, but he says that's particularly with glassware, where the obligation to tovel is midrabanan, but with metal, perhaps one should be stricter. Sefer Kashrus says, utensils used for serving food in a location that is designated for customers or guests alone, such as hotels, restaurants, or coffee houses, and the like, some say it's permitted to use the cups without the tefillah. Some say, again, obviously, when there's a possibility of not relying on that, of course. But here we're talking about cases where that might not be possible. Roshon Zalman Arbach says that when it comes to these hotels, and he says one may be lenient for this according to what I wrote earlier, that the prohibition of using them is only rabbinic. In a hotel in a similar place where they will not allow him to take an immersive, since he wants to eat and drink, it's permitted for him. Again, that's only when he's prevented. However, even if we say that the prohibition of using it is only rabbinic, this is all when the user has no ability to immerse it when he comes to use it. He's able to immerse it and uses the utensil without immersing it, so that's So that's problematic. So a lot of these are kulos about using utensils that haven't been toveled. So those leniencies are when there's absolutely no other possibility. Chazon Ish did not agree to this. He said that if you know the utensils aren't toveled and they're owned by a Jew, you cannot use them. Again, we've presented many opinions that are lenient on this. And Ramosha Feinstein has a chiddush, and we end the shiur with this on page 204, source 43, that maybe it depends on what the purpose of the dish is for that particular food. So let's say with soup, so you can't eat soup without a bowl, in which case the bowl really does require tefillah, even in some of these more difficult situations. But let's say, you know, it's a plate and you could eat the food, you know, could easily just put it on the table or the likes, and maybe to be more polite, you're putting it on the plate. But in that case, the dish does not require tefillah. And then you could use it to apply the opinion that you should use your fingers. So maybe you could say with Moshe also that I could eat it with my fingers, but I'm not going to because it's not polite, in which case the utensils would be putter. So this is Lachas of Tefillas Kalim that we spent quite a long time on. And then we'll move on to talking about the Stam Yenam and Yenesach, talking about wine from being used by non-Jews. That will be for next week. Have a good week, everyone.
Robert, do you have time for a question?
Thank
until
the Zoom runs out.